During Holy Week, we are on a pilgrimage, a holy journey with God. It's a journey focused on God, focused on listening for God's call. It's a journey rooted in prayer, and it's a journey that begins from exactly where we are, exactly where we find ourselves this year at this moment. We set out just as we are, in the place we are in, however we may find ourselves emotionally and physically and spiritually. Whatever might happen on this pilgrimage, setting out on the journey through this week will change us. We will be changed as we walk this way with Jesus, as we journey with him through the week to the upper room, that room of the Last Supper as we do tonight, to the Garden of Gethsemane, to the cross, and finally to the tomb of burial and also of resurrection. Now, the journey we make tonight is not about nostalgia. It's not about trying to imagine 2,000 years ago. When we gather, every time we gather at this table, every time we make Eucharist, past and present and future are united. They are all caught up in God's time. And so we don't just look back literally to the last days of Jesus' earthly life and ministry, but we are here in the present as we walk now with Jesus, as we journey this week as he makes his way to his death and to resurrection life. And so it is, we come this night to the beginning of the Triduum, those three holy days, the days that are the heart of our liturgical year, at the center of our lives, the days that are all about our redemption and salvation. These are the days that reveal to us the great love of God made known in Jesus, and of how God's love is in great contrast to the ways of the world around us. On this night, Jesus gathers in the upper room with his disciples for that last meal before his death. But during the meal, he shocks them. He shocks them by getting up and washing their feet. That was an act that was reserved for servants, for slaves. It is not an act for leaders, for teachers, for the rabbi. Jesus washing his disciples' feet turns the power structures of our world upside down, and in doing so reveals the depth of Jesus' love for humanity and makes very clear to us the priorities of Jesus. Jesus asked them, "Do you know what I have done to you?" But they don't understand. Peter, in fact, tries to keep Jesus from doing this. "You're not going to wash my feet." But Jesus tells Peter he must do that. And Peter is scandalized by Jesus humbling himself in this way. He's uncomfortable with Jesus' act of servanthood. He is very uncomfortable with Jesus taking the position of someone of lower status. Peter just knows Jesus shouldn't do this. Not only does Jesus do this, wash the feet of those at table with him that night, but he also teaches them, saying, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have set you an example that you should also do as I have done to you." And so it is that Jesus commands those who follow him to also wash one another's feet. Perhaps this is scandalous for us. It's a rare thing in our day and age to have our feet washed, something that really doesn't happen once we are no longer very young. And this action, therefore, can be an intimate action. Foot washing might make us uncomfortable. We might resonate with Peter's response, no, thank you. And yet this night, we are invited to do just that. We are invited to wash the feet of another person and to allow our feet to be washed. Foot washing is a clear sign of Jesus' love. It's a clear sign of his call to a life of servanthood. To wash the feet of someone is to engage in an act that is solely for their benefit. It is an act of humility, showing the love Jesus has for his followers and how we take his command seriously to emulate him. And so this night, we are invited to let down our boundaries, our guardedness, and allow Jesus to care for us, ministering through the touch of another person. We are invited to open ourselves to the loving act of having our feet washed, opening ourselves to the humble servanthood, which is the way of Jesus. And so in a few minutes, you will be invited to come forward to participate in the foot washing. You can do so by removing your shoes and coming forward to a chair which will be placed here in front of the altar. Allow your feet to be washed by someone, and then when that is complete, turn and wash the feet of the person next in line. I will wash the feet of the very first person, and I ask whoever is the last in the line, please wash my feet. Now, I want to be clear, no one has to do this, but I do invite you to consider participating, to enter into this time of foot washing, into its intimacy, even embracing how it may feel uncomfortable, and doing so so that we can experience the act of service that Jesus calls us to do as he did. Because tonight Jesus gives a new commandment. The commandment is seen in his act of getting on his hands and knees and washing feet. That new commandment in Latin, mandatum, which is where we get the name of this night, mandi. And the mandate that Jesus gives us is to love one another as he loves us. And this love finds its meaning and its expression in Jesus, who seeks not his greatness, not his own power, not his own honor. We see this in Jesus, whose love is so great that he gets down on the floor to wash the feet of everyone, of the one who will betray him, the one who will deny him, the feet of those who will even abandon him as he suffers on the cross. Jesus also shows his great love for us this night and shows his great love for all of humanity by giving us the great gift of his abiding presence in the Eucharist, in the bread and the wine, in his body and blood, in the gift of that heavenly food that sustains us on our earthly pilgrimage. Jesus promises to be with us whenever we gather at this table, just as he was present at that Last Supper. He promises to give us the bread and the wine that strengthens and nourishes us, the bread and the wine that we receive and take into ourselves that transforms us into his body on earth. And so this night, Jesus shows us his great love for us. And he says to us, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I don't think I need to tell you how desperately our world needs love, especially the love of God made known in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so let us this night come before Jesus, just as we are, just in the place we are in, wherever we find ourselves, and welcome the love that Jesus has for us, to accept the intimacy of his love for us, to allow others to serve us, and in turn, to serve others. It is through the love of Jesus that we can be transformed into his people, into his body on earth, into people who love without limits, who go forth in the name of Christ to love and serve all people. And so this night, may we allow Jesus to transform us into his loving people, people who live not for ourselves, but for others, people who die to self so that we might rise with him to new and eternal life. In the midst of all of the suffering, oppression, greed, hatred, and violence of this world, may we witness to the power of God's love. May people look at us, seeing how we live, and know without question that we follow Jesus. And they know we follow Jesus by the great love we have for one another. Amen.